Blog Talk Radio.
Urban Glory Radio. Simply Glory.
Let's pray and get right into the lesson. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made and rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It is the authority of your word that gives me confidence to make boldly known the mysteries of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I do lean and depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech and deliberation of thought. As I make manifold known the wisdom of God, Holy Spirit, I say, have your way. Do what only you can do. Anoint the ears of the people to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything that shall be accomplished and revealed, you be glorified. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We have been talking about redemption, the study of redemption, redemptive living. How do we live this redeemed life in Christ? And we've talked about how through the process of understanding why Jesus did what he did, that reconciliation will activate the redemptive life. And so that's where we're going to pick up. We're going to pick up from where we left off last week, which was the second point, which was led to the pool of real reconciliation. The core, the platform is the Lord Jesus' life and ministry. And the solution is that through us examining his life as the platform, that we will be led to the pool of real reconciliation. Now, you can mark your Bibles to John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I want to pick up there, kind of go over that again. But I want to give you five areas that are that only Christ could correct. Because remember, he came to restore man back unto God. According to Titus, we understand the purpose of redemption was that he would present a peculiar people zealous unto good works. And so God is raising us up in this day to, through Christ Jesus, in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And it's that new life that reflects the nature of Christ in us that causes us to receive the reality of our redemption. Now, hopefully, we'll be able to get into redemptive rights, which is a greater revelation in redemption living. But tonight, we want to finish this concept of reconciliation. Now, remember, five key areas that only Christ could correct. He had to correct creation, which was the sins of old. He had to correct corruption, which was the sins of the culture. He had to correct condemnation, which was the sins of omission and chance. He had to correct consecration, which was taking place in the sense of religion. And then he had to correct the sins of the world, which is consummation. And that is what we are unfolding. And as we become in Christ, we then begin to see these things corrected in our own lives, things that God has intended for us to live out in creation becomes corrected. Corruption is eradicated out of our life through the process of righteousness. Condemnation, a sense of unworthiness is released from us. Then God can restore us by consecrating us, sanctifying us, to peculiar works, and then in all things he's glorified. So whether we're in the body or out the body, we are present with the Lord. Amen? So these are things that we must know in the scripture and find out exactly what the word of God has to say about our redemption. And the Bible, and I referred to this last week, and I'll just say this for knowledge sake, is that it's important that you go to a church that visit this periodically, and those pastors that are listening, it's important. The Bible says to rebuke and to speak with all authority on redemption. And what I find is we have a group and a body of believers that are raised up without a sense of identity and a greater sense of righteousness because they don't understand why things are being done and what extent Jesus did to accomplish all these things so that way we could have this life that he provided. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But why did he do that? to redeem us so that we can have right standing with God and we can live out this Christian life, not only in word, but in power. Now, also I want you to note, before we get into back in John chapter 5, I want you to also reflect on the book of Ephesians when you deal with redemption, because Ephesians is the Magna Carta of the church. It was written to affirm the believers that are called out to represent God. And so we look at the book of Ephesians to find a lot of things in Christ. And let me give you a list of them. When we are studying Ephesians, we should learn these things, that we are in Christ, Ephesians 1:1, that we are blessed in Christ, Ephesians 1:3, that we are chosen because of Christ, Ephesians 1:4, because we need to also know that we are adopted by Christ, Ephesians 1:5. We need to know that we are accepted and the beloved because of Christ, Ephesians 1:6. We need to know that we are redeemed and forgiven in Christ, Ephesians 1:7. We need to know that everything is centered around the reality of our knowledge of Christ, Ephesians 1:10. We need to know that we have inheritance in Christ, Ephesians 1:11. We need to know that we're glorified in Christ, Ephesians 1:12 through 13. We need to know that we have faith in Christ, Ephesians 1:15. We need to know that there's wisdom in Christ, Ephesians 1:17. We need to know that there's also hope in Christ, Ephesians 1:18. We need to know that there's power in Christ, Ephesians 1:18. We need to know that we are quickened or made alive in Christ, Ephesians 2:5 through 6. We also need to know that we are created in Christ under good works, Ephesians 2:21. We need to know that we're built in Christ, Ephesians 2:22. We need to know that we are partakers of his promises, and that also occurs in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is Ephesians 3:6. We need to know that we have wisdom of God manifested in Christ, Ephesians 3:10 through 11. And we need to know that we have boldness to access God through Christ, Ephesians 3:12, and then we need to know that we always had a secure position before the foundation of the world in Christ, Ephesians 2:11 through redemption. Our redemption was planned by the Father according to Ephesians 1 through 1, verses 4 through 6. It was paid for by the Son, Ephesians 1, 7 through 12, and it was applied by the Spirit, Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. And if you read this particular book, I just gave you a summary of just about three of the five chapters of the book, or three of the six chapters of the book of Ephesians. And I tell you, can I give you something else that's just going to bless your soul? The redemption life can also be capitalized in the armor of God. Now, this is a bonus. I'm not even putting this in this particular systematic teaching, but I'm just going to give it to you as a bonus for the radio audience, because normally I would just put this in the main subject. But I want you to write down the six redemptive, can I give it to you, six redemptive revelations. And if you can understand these revelations, you will experience the redemptive life. And this is found in Ephesians chapter 6. The six redemptive revelations are truth, number one, righteousness, number two, the gospel, number three, faith, number four, salvation, number five, and the word of God. What are the six revelations? Truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the word. So I'm giving you that bonus, that in our redemptive life, it is awakened through the reality of those revelations. And the armor in Ephesians chapter 6 are metaphors are set to paint a picture of the importance of being girded and suited up in these things. But when the revelation of truth, revelation of our righteousness, and revelation of the gospel, faith, and salvation in the word takes place in our lives, we will experience redemptive living. Those are the six revelations of redemption. All right, now, so Ephesians teaches us what it means to be redeemed. That is understanding what it means to be redeemed. As you come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you find out that Christ is not Jesus' last name. That's what I hinted to you last week. Christ is not Jesus' last name, but rather it is the measure of his spirit that was needed to exist as our Savior in the world on planet Earth. So when Christ's work and ministry was complete, the Spirit was dispersed through the act of redemption for the sake of our salvation. So when we reflect that Christ is being in us, we're saying that the awakening of redemption takes place in the spirit of our lives. That's what we're saying. When we say it's Christ in you, we're saying that all that he accomplished on his work of Calvary, glory to God, I sense the anointing what I'm saying, has been fulfilled in your life. And if you don't know that, you're not experiencing the redemptive life. And what will happen is you're going to have to go back to those revelations. Have you encountered the truth that comes from the Lord Jesus? Have you encountered the righteousness that comes from the Lord Jesus? Have you encountered the gospel that comes from the Lord Jesus? Glory to God. Have you encountered faith that can only be achieved through Christ Jesus? Have you encountered this great salvation that takes place in Christ Jesus? And if so, then the reality of the Word of God in your life will produce what you need to succeed in the earth as it is in heaven. And if you're not experiencing that, you got to go back and check and see if God is really sanctified in your heart. And that's what this particular lesson is about. Now refer to John chapter 5. I read it last week. I don't have time to read it this week because I got more material to give it to you. But remember the guy at the pool at Bethesda. And at this particular pool, there was a demonstration, a unique manifestation. I always call it a supernatural phenomena that took place. But I learned something when studying for this particular lesson, that Jesus never dealt with what was taking place at that river, or at that pool, or at that particular gate. Some people say it's a fish gate. Some people say it's a pool. Some people say it's actually a spiritual revelation that was taking place in the area. In the area around the pool, and that it wasn't a physical pool, it was a spiritual place that when people would gather there at a certain time of the day, the Spirit of God would move, and they considered that an angelic visitation. Jesus, however, in the text, in the Gospel of John chapter 5, never deals with what was taking place at the pool. He deals with the man. He said, "Will thou be made whole?" Because obviously, there had to be some revelation, some relationship with this man and Jesus, because he did not respond to Jesus as, "Oh, who are you?" He was very familiar with Jesus, and Jesus must have examined this man for a period of time. Jesus didn't address whether he was in line to get the touching of the troubles of the water. He didn't need an angel. He didn't need a manifestation of the Spirit. He needed to reconcile within himself that he had the ability to rise up and take his bed and walk. It was not a miracle that took place. Nowhere do we see, other than the spoken word, "Will thou be made whole," that there was any supernatural manifestation, other than him obeying the word of the Lord Jesus. Which lets us know that God will often lead you to a place where he can get your attention to let you know what's already within you. And that's what took place in the Gospel of John. The Gospel was not considering the historical fabric as Mark and Luke, his counterparts, were writing. But he was letting you know that the power of God was on the life of the Lord Jesus. And if God got you in a place where he encountered with you through the body of the Lord Jesus, there was going to be something in the atmosphere that would cause you to go from religion to reality, from association to relationship with God, intimate relationship with God, wherewith you came in contact with him, his power, his presence, his prophetic insights on reality would transform your life, and you could take up from that position and do what you got to do to never be the same again. And that's what happened at the Pool of Bethesda. It was not a miracle, it was a revelation of something that had already taken place. The ability to walk was already within that man. He had to rise up and take up his own bed and walk. He was led to the pool to stop playing the fool. He was led to the pool to stop playing the fool. And what redemption does for the believer is to bring us to reconciliation, so we can make resolves that should have been there in the first place. The word reconciliation means to reestablish a close relationship between one person and another, to settle, resolve, and to bring oneself to accept something complete and consistent. And what God wants to do in us living out the nature of the Lord Jesus is to become complete and consistent in Christ. This is what reconciliation does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 16 through 18, write that down. Wherefore henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by who? Jesus Christ. And hath given us what? A ministry, a service of reconciliation. That's what was taking place. When you start living out your redemptive rights and your redemptive reality, the first thing that takes place in your life is there being an awakening, a reestablishing of consistent communication and fellowship with God. Hallelujah. And Jesus, if Jesus don't got your attention, then you don't have Christ in you. And Christ is not operating in you. We have to get back to this teaching. And what you see are many people that say, Lord, Lord, I did this, and he said, do away from me, ye workers of passed down sins from generation to generation. I never knew you. You didn't resolve to be consistent in me. You didn't resolve to be connected to me. You didn't resolve to be created in me. And when that has not taken place, you have a group of people that profess with words that they know a God who requires them to embody what they believe. Hallelujah. Now also write down for your own records Romans 5, 6 through 10. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Preadventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath. But how shall we be saved from the wrath? We're going to be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, were reconciled with God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. See, redemption affords this salvation. Now I'm going to write down 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, that means their excusable sins, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now if you've embodied Christ, you become his ambassadors. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Why? Because when God leads you, he's going to bring you to a place where you become complete and consistent once you reestablish your focus on him. So this is what redemptive living is all about. This is the core to the message of this particular session. What redemption first does is it activates itself through reconciliation. It activates it. And what activates it? The revelations that we talked about? The confrontation with the truth? You remember back in Ephesians, I just gave you the sixth thing, the armor of God. Put on, therefore, the armor of God. Having done all, stand in this. So when we say that, we're telling you that the truth needs to be embedded into you, the revelation of the truth, the revelation of the righteousness of God, the revelation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the good news of Jesus? Why don't you know? You in Christ. You need to know what the good news was. Hallelujah. And then not only that, you need to know that faith is established, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Any man that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we seek because we know we shall find. We knock because we know the door will be open. We ask because we know we'll get the answer. Glory to God. Now, it says, and it says, for he hath made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So therefore, all of these realities don't take place until we come to this reconciliation with God. And this reconciliation, that's why, you know, in the first point of the teaching, we said that you got the platform is Jesus. Now he takes us not only to the platform, but he takes us to the pool of reconciliation. Because we got to resolve to be consistent in Christ. So that's the point that we're proving here tonight. You got to be consistent with God. God is requiring consistency from his believers. Hallelujah. And that's what he does. And what happens is this. The beauty of it is that it's already on the inside, resonant within us. It's resident within us. We have been reconciled to God so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we got to just take up our bed and walk. Glory to God. Now, Colossians 1:18 through 23, I'm going to read it to you. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Everything begins with the church. That's why you got to be careful, especially you preachers who come against the problem of the church. There ain't no problem with the church. There's no problem with God's church. The Bible says that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. Glory to God. Ain't nothing wrong with the church. It might be something wrong with you, but it's nothing wrong with God's church. You got to be careful what you say over God's house. There's no regard anymore for the people of God collecting themselves in the communion with God. That's what it means. Ecclesia, called out people. Don't let nobody talk down you going to church. Don't let anybody talk down the power of being the church. Don't let secular society manipulate the value and the importance of the church. Christ died for the church. Glory to God. And we ought to live for the church. Bless his holy name. And he is the head of the body of the church. Who is the beginning? The church is the beginning. The firstborn of the dead. That in all things we might have preeminence. Nothing starts without the church being awakened to action. For it pleased the Father, hallelujah, that in him, Christ Jesus, should all the fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, thank God for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, if he didn't die on the cross, I feel like preaching, I feel like hooping and tuning up there. If he didn't die on the cross, by whom he reconciled all things to himself. But by him I say, whether ye be in things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your own mind by your wicked works, yet now, glory to God. This is why God brings us to the pool of reconciliation so we can live this life. Has he reconciled in the body of the flesh through his death to present you holy? See, holiness comes through redemption. It comes through the revelation of you being reconciled with God, unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Ain't nobody can correct you when you're in Christ Jesus. Glory to God, because you're unreprovable and you're unblameable if you continue in the what? The faith. Now, do you see how you come in contact with the truth, and then from the truth you get in righteousness, and then from righteousness you get a portion of the gospel, and the gospel brings you into the faith? So if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which ye have preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore we are made ministers. Paul was talking this. This is the whole purpose behind the ministry of reconciliation. To bring us back into right standing with God so we can be complete and consistent in Christ Jesus. Do you get the point? So in Colossians chapter 1 verses 18 through 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 18 through 21, the Bible says under two or three witnesses let everything be established. Romans 5, 6 through 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 18, and then John chapter 5, we get this reconciliation piece, the importance of it. This is the ministry. These are the scriptures that you should know. You should be able to preach and understand. And this is why God is having me go back over this. Don't close out this year without you getting things right and knowing why we do what we do in the church. Don't let Christ become casual in your mind. Come back to reconciliation. Come back to identifying with Christ Jesus. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Now, reconciliation does five things, and I'll close with this. Number one, reconciliation is activated by personal revelation. What's the personal revelation? The armor of God, truth, righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the word. It is activated by personal revelation and a resolve of the matters of life. That's how reconciliation takes place. You got to have a revelation of the truth. That truth should lead you to righteousness. That righteousness should lead you to the gospel. That gospel should bring about the relevance of the salvation, the salvation's plan. And that salvation should promote the final authority of God's word in your life. And then reconciliation, number two, is acknowledged by the act of forgiveness and submission to the things of God. Thirdly, reconciliation is altered when resolve is not attained by faith. We got to understand without faith it is impossible to please God. So when we don't have reconciliation in faith, then we won't be able to connect to this revelation of reconciliation. Fourthly, reconciliation is anointed in our lives, in the lives of every believer. It's anointed. That means it's set apart. It's set up as a priority in our life. That we at any time can connect to an all-holy God that cannot look on sin. And he can present us faultless because of the Lord Jesus' work on the cross. We don't just sin to be sin, but if we come short, his grace, his power, his ability, his favor, his influence is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. His love is realized and actualized in our bodies so that we can exemplify an all-holy God in us. And then fifthly, reconciliation is a ministry. It's a ministry. commanded of God for every believer to fulfill. I'm out of time. I'll get back on the next lesson where the scripture talks about not only are we led to the pool of reconciliation, but the Lord gives us light for the path of life. God bless you and good night. To God be the glory for the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you listen to me give you a little historical facts. You heard the hype in my voice. At the end of the day, you need to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repeat after me, I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank God for the work that he did for me.
If you just prayed that prayer, give us a call at our 24-hour prayer center. 202-709-PC4U. That's 202-709-7240.
Give to a ministry that's making a difference. Go to our website now, urbanglorycampaigns.web.com/partner with us. urbanglorycampaigns.web.com/partner with us.